during the retreat in the mornings, I will give short talks. Sometimes I will take quotes, perhaps from the Zen masters. Why do I do this? Very simply, so that you can bring that fact to life for yourself. Otherwise, it doesn't mean anything. These are not just stories for us to study or even to contemplate. These are things that we must bring to life. We must see through ourselves. That's all that the stories, so to speak, are for. To open our eye, to awaken to that which reads the sutras, even to that which creates those Zen records. We're not here to learn how to imitate something or to study what somebody said about something. Finally, you are here, you can be here for no other reason than to create your own. If I may quote, tradition isn't something you blindly follow. It's fuel for a longer voyage. Tradition isn't something you blindly follow. It's fuel, energy, for a longer voyage, for the actual journey. I'm afraid that was actually from liner notes for an album by the musician John Hartford, but it might have been from a Zen record. More traditional terms, the great Zen master Rinzai, the father of Rinzai Zen, speaks of sutras and written words as prescriptions. He said, when I realized he had studied the sutras and the shastras, the commentaries on the sutras, very deeply. But one day, as he tells, he realized he was just looking at the prescription for the medicine. You know what a prescription is? Did you say that in German? A medicine prescription? You're right.
It's up to
you. It was just a prescription. But you have to take the medicine. He said, oh, I got the prescription. Uh-huh. Right? Here it is. Look, the doctor signed it. You have to take the medicine. And thus, Rinzai says, he threw himself into the Zen school. Beware. Okay? Beware. Rinzai even said, the sutras, as far as I'm concerned, are toilet paper to wipe our asses. Therefore, they're useless, right? No! They're extremely valuable. Did you ever go to a toilet and have to take a big crap and there was no toilet paper? Did you ever need medicine and not have the prescription? They have their place. They have their place. Rinzai's words were written down. But we must be clear on what is the prescription and what is taking the medicine. What is it to take the medicine? Well, practically speaking, we can say, oh, it's to practice, right? That's why we're here, to practice. Well, yeah. Another way to put it is it's to regain our original wholeness. It's to realize our original health, our true wholeness. If you don't understand something I'm saying, feel free to speak up, okay? You have come here today. You have taken great effort, preparation. Whether you are fully aware of it or not, you must have seen somewhat into the illness. I believe one person even said he's here because he wants a rest or something like that. Well, I hope you will take a true rest from everything, especially from yourself. To realize our original wholeness, our unborn and undying health. There is nothing more valuable than that. You have already shown your willingness in being here tonight. I beg you not to waste this opportunity. That is one reason why I asked through Ron to feel free to contact me about where you are in your practice. First of all, I was asking you to have to reflect on that. Where are you actually in your practice? What is going on in your actual practice, which also means in your daily life, in your decisions, in your confusions? The retreat is not torture. We're not here for torture. It may sometimes feel like torture, but that is not why we are here. This is not sadism or masochism. Sometimes it can feel that way, but ordinary life can too. We are not here to torture ourselves. We're certainly not here to torture others. You only get hit with a stick when you ask for it. However, as a matter of fact, sometimes a stubborn illness requires bitter medicine. Do you understand? Sometimes a stubborn illness requires bitter medicine. I think you may not have thought about it that way, but to some extent you all know this. That's why you're here. I assure you, you could have done many other easier things over this weekend. But we are not here to torture ourselves, not at all. We are here to realize our real wholeness, our real well-being, unborn and undying. Then we can do all that we can to heal the world. But this retreat is about first being clear about our own illness and our own real well-being, health, wholeness. There's another Zen expression, if I may quote it. Hakuin, the Japanese Rinzai master, liked it very much. It says something like Khufu. I'll explain what that is. Khufu in the midst of motion is countless times better than in the midst of stillness. Do you understand? Khufu is actually the word, it's the Chinese word kung fu, kung fu. But here in Zen, it means it's what you do with your koan, to struggle with it, to work with it, to be one with it. Okay? So it's hard to put in one word, so I leave it in the Japanese pronunciation, khufu. It's what you do with your koan. Khufu in the midst of, in the middle of, in the midst of motion, action, is infinitely better than khufu in the midst of stillness. Do you understand? Naturally, we might think, well, sitting in stillness is better, right? Isn't that what we're here in a retreat? We're going to be sitting still. That's the good stuff. I don't want to move. I want to sit still. And indeed, Hakuin is not denying the value or the importance of sitting. Not at all. Not at all. But he's saying that stillness, that practice in stillness, Zazen, must be so thorough and so complete that it does not end with Zazen, that it becomes Zazen standing, walking, eating, going to the toilet, laughing, crying. And in that sense, indeed, that practice is infinitely more important, he says, better, superior, than simply sitting in stillness. Once again, he's not saying it's not good to sit, don't sit. He's not saying that at all. He's saying the sitting must be so complete that it doesn't end. It's sustained. Even to say it's sustained sounds like an effort of the will. Finally, it can never come or go. It is constant the way we are, whether we are in this posture or any other. So be aware, I'm sure all of you have read some Zen records or writings. If you're going to read that stuff, read it with great care. Sometimes when I introduce some Zen saying, I will try as necessary to give a little of perhaps the cultural background, something you may not know, to help you get to the real meaning. But once again, this is not a study session. This is not a workshop. This is not a seminar. The only reason that any of this is introduced is for you to realize it for yourself. Otherwise, it doesn't matter. To bring it to life for yourself. In our practice here, together, in sustained, constant practice, whether sitting, walking, eating, we are seeing through whatever is happening. There's no need for any other kind of experience. There's not no need for a koan. There's no need for a mantra. There's no need to anticipate anything. There's no need to remember something from a sutra. All that is necessary is to be fully with what is there at the present moment. If you can really be fully present with whatever there is, intense pain, incredible pleasure, it makes no difference. Whatever is actually present at that moment, that is it. Fully present. To see through. In other words, get to be at the bottom of that. Not coming out and looking at it or judging it. Being it directly. That is what is called the Genjo Koan, the koan manifest here and now. Some people here are struggling with a great problem, with a great doubt. It's not something else. It's just taken on a specific form, and it has become a great doubt, is the word for it. If that's the way it comes to you, fine. If not, you don't have to try to create something that's not there. Be fully present with whatever is there. You don't have to create anything. Once again, you don't have to remember something. You don't have to even realize something. Be what is there. Let go of any theory, any dreams, any delusions, and see what is there. In a sense, that's where the koan comes from. I can give you many examples if they are of help. Just to give a few. The great layman Pang. He was a Tang dynasty, so we're talking about 1200 years ago. He was a layman. What was his Genjo Koan? What was his great doubt? Well, if you look at his record, it states, he went to two masters, spent a great deal of time practicing, and he only had one question. He had gotten it down to one question. It's not necessary, but it can be very helpful. His great doubt was expressed this way. Who is it? Who is the one who does not accompany the 10,000 things? Here, perhaps a little explanation is helpful. Who is it? Who is this one that does not go along with the 10,000 things is just a set Chinese expression for everything. And of course, everything means everything is subject to birth and death. He already knew that. So he was looking for the one that does not come and go, that is not subject to birth and death. You see, it makes perfect sense. It's a perfectly natural way for someone 1,200 years ago to have come up with it. That's not likely to be your great doubt, but it was his. Who is this? Where is this one that is not subject to birth and death, that does not go along with anything? Where is it? What is it? In Japan, about 350 years ago, there was a great Zen master named Bankei. When he was a child, he was taking calligraphy lessons, and they often used Confucian teachings. And he came upon this passage, the way of great learning, not small learning, facts and knowledge, but great learning, wisdom. The way of great learning lies in illuminating our innate virtue. Again, maybe a little explanation can be helpful. In Confucianism, man, human beings, are thought to be good by nature. So what wisdom is not learning something. It's not acquiring something. It's making clear the virtue in our hearts. Okay? So this is a very basic teaching. It's in the Great Learning, the Confucian classic. The way of great learning lies in illuminating our own innate virtue. That became his great doubt. Do you see? He didn't want to just learn how to write calligraphy. He wanted to know, where is this? I want to know this thing. Where is this? How do I illuminate this? Where is it? And of course, the calligraphy teacher couldn't be much help. So he went and asked Confucian teachers, and they could give him, well, let's see, chapter 7, the well, that wasn't very helpful either. Well, finally, they said, well, maybe you want to go ask a Zen master. And he did that, and that didn't help much either. He spent years, he almost killed himself trying to get to this beautiful, bright, illuminating virtue that somehow must be there. But where? How do I get to it? That was his great doubt. Rinzai, who I already mentioned, the father of Rinzai Zen, he practiced for a long time so deeply that he couldn't even formulate a question. When he was asked, he said, I've never gone to see the master. Why? I don't know what to ask. That's how deeply he was practicing. He couldn't even formulate a question. That is a way too. And he was so deeply involved in the practice that when he was told, well, go ask the master what's the meaning of the Buddha Dharma, which is a standard question. What's the ultimate meaning of the Buddha? In other words, what's the living truth? And he did, and every time he went, the master, without saying a word, simply slapped him. He struck him because he could see where he was. He didn't offer a word of explanation, of advice. He didn't try to give him a koan. He struck him. Well, that's because of where Rinzai was already. But do you see just these few examples? Layman Pang had a great doubt, and he was able to formulate it precisely, which can be very helpful in order to reach a resolution. Do you see? If now, yeah, well, it's kind of like birth and death kind of a thing. Yeah. And then 5 minutes later, oh, yeah, impermanence. That's kind of neat too. Huh? You're probably not going to come to the end of distress that way. So for some people, it arises as that kind of a specific question that they cannot let go of. They can't get away from it. If that is your way, wonderful. That is one reason we have one-on-one, to see that you are pointed in the right direction. And the best way is indeed if you have your own living great doubt, not Bankei's or Rinzai's or something you read in a book. Those koans of others can be helpful if you need something, a shovel to dig with. But unless you're actually digging into the depths of yourself with it, it is of no use whatsoever. If you do not have this kind of great doubt, Rinzai himself, supposedly the father of Koan Zen, was not able to formulate one. So he was just told a set phrase and he went and asked it. That's okay too, because he was completely giving himself to the moment-to-moment practice. That is all. If it comes to you as one great doubt that must be resolved, good. We can deal with it that way. If it doesn't, fine. Sit and give yourself fully every last drop to the present moment of your practice. You don't have to create it. You don't have to turn it into anything. Just be what is present. Is that clear enough? I think it's time for some tea. Is that correct? And then Kinhin? What it says. Okay. Thank you for listening so intently.